message to Abram in Genesis 15, where he says to him, I am your shield, Abram, your exceedingly great reward. And then tonight at Vespers, we're going to look at Jesus' declaration in John 10, where he proclaims himself, I am the Good Shepherd. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to look at a more evocative statement of Jesus out of John 14, which we actually affirmed today in the affirmation, I am the truth, Jesus said of himself. Many of you knew my grandmother, Ann Ferguson, and our cottage, The Open Door. And my grandmother was a woman of great faith. And she passed down her faith to my mom, Joyce, who's here this morning. And I am standing here in the generational legacy of my grandmother, Ann, and my mom, Joyce. You know, I think the last time I was on this stage, I was in the junior choir, singing here as a kid, which my sisters and I did every Sunday that we were here, and we always sang in the variety show. And Melody's already mentioned Dick Calkins, who I also was going to mention this morning, because he's another person that had a huge effect on my faith as a child here at Epworth. And what I always remember about Mr. Calkins, I'm sure you can think of this too, he was just a man of so much life and laughter. And he taught us a song that we often, actually, we sang many years in the variety show. And for some reason, the chorus, or the, I guess the first verse of that song, just kept on going through my head and preparing to be at Epworth this weekend. And I'm not going to sing it because I'm not a soloist. I'm definitely a choir person. But the beginning lyrics went, gee, I'm looking forward to the future, for in the distance I can see a great new day is dawning in the 21st century. You know, we sang that in the 20th century as a kid here. And now I'm standing here on the legacy of my grandmother and of my mother in the 21st century as an ordained minister here. And I can't imagine that when I was a child that I ever would be here as the guest preacher at Epworth. Certainly, a great new day is dawning here in the 21st century. Well, I would like to invite you to stand for the reading of Scripture this morning. I'm first going to read out of Psalm 96, the first seven verses. Sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. Tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. The gods of other nations are mere idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround him. Strength and beauty fill his sanctuary. O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. And our second reading this morning is from Genesis 15, the first six verses. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward." But Abram replied, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eleazar of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own. So one of my servants will be my heir." And then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. And then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence here. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to open up our eyes and help us to see Jesus. To open up our ears and help us to hear him, Lord. We want to be transformed as a result of being here together this morning in your word. And so we give this time to you for the honor and the praise and the glory of your name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Thinking about your life right now, how would you say fear and anxiety are contaminating your relationship with the Lord? You know, generally speaking, it seems the answer to this question is often starts when we're in an uncertain circumstance, one that makes us feel vulnerable, maybe threatened, maybe unsafe. I remember well after 9/11, I was working for the then Senate chaplain, Lloyd Ogilvie, up on Capitol Hill in the Senate in Washington, D.C., and that day was a very, very uncertain, unsafe, and scary day for all of us. You know, and after that nightmarish day, Dr. Ogilvie and I counseled many in the Senate family who felt very afraid, who felt very anxious in the days after 9/11. And not just because of 9/11, as bad as that was, but there were many days after that one day where we were still being evacuated from our office buildings. In fact, one day I remember calling my sister, literally running out of the Capitol building, calling her and saying, Lisa, please turn on the TV right now. I don't know why we're running out of the Capitol building. Tell me what they're saying on TV. I mean, it was time after time we were running out of that building. And it wasn't just that. Then we went into the anthrax and the ricin scares, which unsettled the Senate staff just as much. And as we will see this morning, fear and anxiety are normative emotions in our human story. And because they are, God has something to say to us about them, which is directly tied to who he is. Specifically, we're going to look at this encounter of Abram this morning, who later became known as Abraham. And however, before we dive into it, I think it's important to remind ourselves a bit of his backstory so we understand the context of the message that God speaks to Abram in Genesis 15. Well, God first speaks to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, and he tells him to get up and go from where he's living and go to another land, one that the Lord is going to show him. And he assures Abram of blessing and that he's going to build this great nation through him, a nation that's not only going to be amazing, but one that is going to bless the other nations around it. In verse 4 of chapter 12, it's very positive, and it tells us that Abram believed God, and he got up and started to move. And we see this man of faith, of great faith, and everything seems to be going really well until we get to verse 10 of chapter 12. And we read the first sign of trouble. It talks about a famine. And in scarcity, Abram freaks out. Now, to be fair, he has to act, like all of us would have to act when we were facing starvation. However, it's how Abram acts, which exposes what's in his heart, fear and anxiety. You know, the text doesn't tell us there in Genesis 12 that Abram prays and trusts the Lord. And whenever the Bible is silent, it is telling us just as much as if it was saying it directly. And so we know at this point that Abram's faith and trust in God are a bit weak at this point. We also know, in reading a bit further, that it's not just this fear of starving to death, but there's also an anxiety within Abram of being killed by Pharaoh that pushes him into action. So what happens? These emotions drive him to play a trick, basically, on the Pharaoh. He pawns his wife off to the Pharaoh as his sister in order to save his own life. With this ruse, I think we can safely say that Abram has sunk to a terrible low. And maybe the worst part is that he thinks that no one will find out. But of course, God knows. Which Abram discovers after the plague ravishes Pharaoh's household, and then God exposes the trick to Pharaoh, who then catches Abram in his lie. The fear and anxiety in Abram's heart so contaminate his faith that they dictate his actions. It sounds pretty depressing, but there's encouragement. By chapter 14, we see some signs of hope in Abram. He helps rescue his kidnapped brother, and then he resists a very strong temptation to hoard loot that the king of Sodom is offering him. You know, despite himself and his actions, we know that Abram is learning about who God is and how to trust him. Even though his faith is fluctuating between trusting God and giving in to fear and anxiety. And all of this brings us to chapter 15, verse 1, where God right away names names and says to Abram, "Do not be afraid." You know, these words hopefully encourage all of us in our relationship with the Lord this morning. By saying, "Do not be afraid," to Abram, God is identifying and pointing out his fear and anxiety in his heart. He's literally calling them out of Abram in order not to reprimand him, not to judge him, not to yell at him, but in order to assure him of his presence with him in the present. Then God goes on to say, "I am your shield, Abram, your exceedingly great reward." So what is God saying to him at this point in his life? Well, first, more generally, God is affirming the continuation of the covenant that he has promised already to Abram, as we looked at earlier in chapter 12. And if Abram is nursing any insecurity or doubt about God's commitment to him or the promise that he made, he doesn't have to anymore. Because unlike the man-made idols of the nations surrounding him, which are dead and mute, as we read in Psalm 96, God is living, and he's speaking personally to Abram. And with these words, he is assuring Abram that he has his back, and under no circumstance will he let this promise go of a nation or his relationship with Abram. So now looking more specifically at the message, first, in declaring himself as Abram's shield, God is using a metaphor here to describe himself as Abram's defender and protector. He's essentially saying to Abram, I am here, Abram, as your protector. Don't fear. You know, this message reinforces to Abram that God is personally binding himself to him and the nation he's creating. As Abram's shield, no matter what happens, Abram has nothing to fear or be anxious about because God is his protector and defender. No one or nothing else, including Abram. And then in claiming, I am your exceedingly great reward, God is personally telling Abram, I am your God of grace and mercy. Stop looking for something on earth as a reward. I am your reward, Abram. God's pursuit and presence with Abram is nothing Abram deserves or can earn. It's all God's initiative simply because of God's personal grace and mercy in Abram's life. You know, this doesn't negate Abram's part in it, but the message of love and tender mercy by God to Abram as his exceedingly great reward is God personally defining their relationship by God's actions and not Abram's. Also in saying, I am your exceedingly great reward, God is saying, I am faithful, Abram. You have total freedom from fear. As we said earlier, fear and anxiety oftentimes contaminate our faith when we feel threatened or vulnerable or unsafe. You know, after this incredible message in verse 1, in the very next verse, it clearly states that Abram is anxious and tense over this idea of descendants, pretty much not having any. He says in a very stressed out way, you can only hear his tone, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Clearly, Abram thinks he needs the son. And we can't totally fault him. Abram is a pragmatist, and he's just stating the obvious. But the thing is, God knows what's in Abram's heart. And he knows what Abram needs at this point in his life. And you know what? It's not a child. It's God himself. He's the only one who can set Abram free from the fear and anxiety that are having this place over his life and polluting his faith and dictating his actions. Can you relate to this? I know I can. What are you wanting from God that you think you need? And could it be that God is withholding it because he knows you need him more right now? You know, these are not easy questions. In fact, I think it's much easier when we ask God for what we want just to get it as soon as we ask for it than actually trusting the Lord. However, wherever we find ourselves this morning, this intimate message of God to Abram is ours as well. God is our shield. He is our protector and defender. He also is our exceedingly great reward. He longs for us to be free of the fear and anxiety which contaminate and infect our hearts. Well, saying all this, perhaps you're a little bit like me this morning and you're actually thinking to yourself, yeah, but I mean, like, how does this actually all work out in my life, especially when the going gets tough and the truth of this promise is God being my shield and my exceedingly great reward sounds, I mean, quite frankly, more like a fairy tale than real life? Well, I think to begin to answer this question, we have to go back to the text. Because it seems that Abram might have had the same question rolling around in his head. Because as I've already said, as he heard these words in verse 1 from God to him, he already in verse 2 starts questioning God's commitment to the promise of an heir. And as we know, if we know anything about Abram in the subsequent chapters of Genesis, the fear and anxiety that is associated with having this heir continue to wreak all kinds of havoc on him, his family, his servants, and pretty much everyone associated with him. And yet, the human emotions of fear and anxiety that Abram felt did not nullify God's incredible promise or impede God's ability to bring it to pass in Abram's life. And this is the good news for us this morning, that despite our feebleness of faith to trust God as our protector and our great reward, and instead to give into fear and anxiety from time to time, God does not and will not give up on any of us. This is grace. This is God's grace in our lives. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. It is his incredible love and his protection which he gives freely to us without any reservation. You know, let's also feel a great sense of relief this morning that nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that eventually Abram became perfect and lived happily ever after. We know that's not true. And likewise, we know that at no time did God rescind or walk out on his promise to Abram. It remained true throughout Abram and then Abraham's life. And it is equally true for us. God does not or will not give up on any of us, no matter how much our faith fluctuates at any time. Period. As we close this morning, I wonder, have you ever heard God's voice to you say to you personally, "I am your shield. I am your exceedingly great reward"? Before we move on this morning, I'd like us just to pause, just for a moment of silent prayer, and ask God to personalize this message of his love and commitment to you. Let's silently pause for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Our final song this morning is number 118, "The Lord of the Dance."